For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
All right, it's 2 o'clock. I'll get started. My name is Patrice McCormick. Thank you. This is the introduction to Xenos Home Groups. So if that's not what you were intended to hear, you are free to go. I'll pray, and then I'll tell you a little bit about myself, and then we'll see a video, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this conference. I just am so grateful that your Spirit's among us, that you are teaching each one of us individually, Lord, and corporately. And so, Lord, we do pray that you could continue to have your way with each one of us this week to give us a vision of what heaven is like and how you want it to change our lives. So we pray for that. And Lord, I pray now that you would speak through me and I could communicate clearly what a home group looks like at Xenos. And Father, I do pray that you would raise the questions and comments. And so everything you want us to consider here this morning, or this afternoon, I guess, would be what we discuss here today, Lord. Thanks for these guys showing up, because I know saying yes to this, they said no to other things. And so, again, thanks that you are with us and that you love us and you've given us any role at all in your kingdom. Amen. Just to give you a little bit of background about myself, I'm married and have 4 kids. Our kids are 25, 23, and we have twin daughters that are 21. All 4 of them, praise the Lord Jesus, are all in fellowship and walking, so we're excited about that. I've been involved in home groups here at Xenos for about 30 years. I'm old, and my husband and I have been in leadership most of those years. We've been in some form of leadership, sometimes good leaders and sometimes really bad leaders. So yeah, we had a period there where God sure was teaching us some stuff. At Xenos, we do like the home group model, and I'll talk why. I'll give some reasons why we think it's such a good model and why we like it so much. But with that being said, we're not the only game in town. We have lots of problems. We've done things well over the years and done things not so well over the years, and some of the choices that we've made we're still trying to dig out of. But yet it is I wouldn't still be here if I didn't think it was such a good model to reach the lost and help mature people so that they can turn around and reach the lost also. So I don't know if you've seen this video. It's called The Shallow Home Group. This is what you don't want your home group to be. It's pretty amusing. So let me see.
Oh. I've heard of small groups always getting into your business, trying to get you to share your feelings.
Can you guys even hear that?
Confess your sins. It's just looking for a place to kick it, network, maybe get some free grub. Me too. That's why I created what I believe to be the world's first openly shallow small group. We're not here to deal with messy stuff like feelings and emotions. You got problems? You deal with that. You're an adult. Life ain't easy. So start the pity party. We all have our issues. We don't really want to do life together. Frankly, shallow small group. We try not to do much of anything at all. You'll never hear us use the term unpack that thought. I'm sure it's packed away for really good reasons. You'll never hear us use the term accountability unless you're talking about someone who deals with numbers. Amen. The key to my passage about great accountability and spiritual growth. Who wants growth? I had a growth removed last week. There's no pressure here to remember each other's names.
Oh, hey, man. How's it going? Oh, dude.
We have the important thing. Group discussion. You got tickets to the big game? Sweet. Let's spend some time on that. Oh, you and your wife are struggling financially. There's tension in the relationship. That's not really the vibe we're going for. We avoid conflict like the plague. Superficial. But hey, the word super's in superficial. Who doesn't want to be super?
So that's pretty, I don't even know where someone found that online. But that's obviously what you don't want to have in your home group. So as we go along, and if you have questions or I'm not clear, please feel free to ask, because it's the best part of the whole discussion. So when I use the phrase home group or home church, is what you're going to hear around here, what we're talking about is small spiritual community of about 15 up to 50 adults or college or high school students that come together in homes to share the life of Christ. Most adult groups here at Xenos, we'd like to start out a home group with about 20 people is what we're finding is a good number. Less than that, it's hard to have a consensus going. And college kids and high school students in the same spot. We have, our kids are involved in different home groups, so we have them over for dinner, the college kids, and we'll pray together afterwards. We can get about 35 college kids in the same room that we can get about 20 adults in, right? College kids are great. You can pile them on top of each other and they're as happy as can be. And so most adult groups at Xenos are not going to, they're going to grow up to maybe mid-30s, high 40s, before we're going to, low 40s before we're going to plant. And we'll talk about that later. But that's what, when you hear that term home group at Xenos, that's what we're talking about, okay? The mission, though, what is the purpose of a home group? And the purpose of the home group is to provide a structure for the members of that group to do evangelism and discipleship in the context of community. That's the heart and soul of the home group at Xenos. You want to help people. You want more people into the kingdom and more of the kingdom into the people, right? And so this is a structure that we think has been the most effective way to help people come to Christ and then grow in their relationship with Christ. Why do we do home groups at Xenos? What were the driving factors that back in 1970 is when this all got started? What were the things that drove primarily Dennis, who spoke last night, and Gary, who I believe is speaking tomorrow night? They were the two, the founders of this whole thing. I'm stealing this. It's a little bit of a lengthy quote, but I'm stealing this from Dennis's paper. It's referenced on your handout. 11 reasons why home group fellowships usually fail. But in this paper, he says these are the key. This is why home groups got started at Xenos. It says both New Testament example and principle argue for small home-sized group as a key feature of the local church. In the area of biblical example, Acts 2:46 states that the Jerusalem... Did I skip one? No. Yeah. In the area of biblical example, Acts 2:46 states that the Jerusalem church met in the temple and from house to house. Concerning the meetings in the temple, we know that Solomon's portico was probably quite large and could have accommodated even the several thousands that were part of the Jerusalem church. Thus, in Jerusalem, they held both large and small group meetings. In another case, Paul reminded the Ephesian elders that he exhorted them both publicly and from house to house. In this passage, publicly probably refers to the schoolroom of Tyrannus. But Paul did not limit his speaking ministry to the large meeting place, even though one was available. He also worked from house to house. It seems clear from these and other references that operating a cluster of home churches in each city was a common practice. It is probably significant that no church buildings have been found from the earliest period of the church, and even those from the second century are homes with a large room built. So one of the reasons we have home groups at Xenos is because we see examples. But even probably the thing that drives home groups more than that is the principles surrounding the issues of body life, spiritual gifts, and the fact that real spiritual ministry is the business of every member in the local church. Is the business of every member in the local church cannot be effectively brought into practice in a large group setting. The church must provide smaller group settings where relationships can grow between members so they will be able to discover each other's needs. Only then will they be able to meet those needs on an individual level. And so the thing that drives home groups at Xenos is, and again, I'm talking to the choir, the whole issue of body life, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, where the Bible says we're actually interdependent on one another, that we spiritually cannot survive without one another. the concept that each person has spiritual gifts that God wants us to use in the context of community. And so the idea is those truths could never, ever be effectively practiced if all you did was attend one large meeting once a week. Again, James Rochford, he's got the teaching gift. And we got some great administrative people who made this thing happen. And we got some technical people. But if that's all we ever did was show up together on Sunday morning once a week for an hour, how would you ever discover your spiritual gifts, right? And how could you actually say you need somebody when you're not close enough with them, when you don't see them often enough that you actually know the needs that they have, right? It's impossible. It cannot be done. And so these small groups, it's a structure where you actually could begin to discover your spiritual gifts, where you actually are in a position where you can receive God's love and give away God's love. And a healthy home group, and we'll talk about this more as we go, as each person takes that that privilege on of playing their small role in this home group, the healthier the home group is. I mean, the heart of man, we all love to be lazy, right? And so, God, we love to come to these big meetings and teach, and I'll sit here and take some notes. It's the same way in a home group. It's just smaller. I hope that home church teacher is really doing a good job tonight, because I want to sit here and, like, listen and then get out of here as soon as I can, because there's a good basketball game on or a good TV show. But a healthy home group will only be as good as everybody comes in thinking, I have a role to play here tonight. There's 20 of us. And this guy's leading a discussion, or this gal's leading a discussion. If I don't speak up, if I don't pray, if I don't engage, this meeting can be pretty pathetic. And so in this home group structure, in this smaller community, you actually live out this context that I need you and you need me in order to grow spiritually, in order to have a spiritually dynamic life. And so these principles, it is one of the key reasons, it is the driving force behind home groups, is that everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a spiritual gift. And this will be a place where we can actually live that out on a consistent manner. Unfortunately, when churches attempt to initiate a small group ministry, they sometimes fail to teach and persuade their people that the purpose of the meeting is to practice these biblical principles. The result is sometimes a wrong impression on the part of most participants. Members often feel that the meeting is primarily intended as a social gathering, a support group, a place where my needs can be met, rather than a place where I can develop a ministry. Now, if you're in a good, healthy home group, will your needs be met? Yeah. Will you be supported in all the, in areas of life when things get crazy and your kids go off the rails or all? Yes, absolutely. But if that becomes the end in itself, you're on a downhill slide to seeing your home group fail. I saw this with our own home group. We got all kinds of messes. Holy cow! And we started realizing we were allowing those complexities of life to kind of consume our thought life, our energy in the home group. And I had the chance to teach on the mission of the church and how the mission of the church is ultimately to help more people come to Christ and more of the kingdom. And as I thought about that, it gave me a framework then to consider bad marriages, to consider kids that were rebelling, consider financial problems, consider nobody had enough food to eat, and all those issues that were coming out in our little home group. It was starting to consume our thinking. And I thought, no, those are real needs, and those needs will be met. But ultimately, our mission is evangelism and discipleship in the context of community. And as I put that back out there in the forefront of our thinking, and we keep moving, these other needs are met. These other needs are met. It's something only God can do, right? And so why do we have home groups at Zenos? Because there's examples of them, and because these kind of biblical principles we feel can only be met in a small group structure. All right? Making sense? Every once in a while, say, oh, yeah, even if you're thinking about why in the world did I sit in on this one? My God, let me get out of here. So this is where we're headed. Our history, where we are now, the structure of a home group, how home groups facilitate evangelism and discipleship, how it's a community, leadership, how we develop leaders, planting, and then the overall, how we give help to these overall, to the home group leaders, because the elders have given us significant responsibility. But because of that, they take great pains to equip us and give us oversight that we can, so that we can do the task that they feel like the Lord's called us to do. So our history, how did we get here? This is a picture of Dennis, 1970. Dennis accepted Christ. He had pretty much had a big party life. He accepted Christ, and he grew up in a more traditional religious home. And so Dennis was trying to figure out how, what kind of structure do we need in order for my friends, my party friends, would actually step foot into an area to even consider the truth claims of Jesus Christ. And so what Dennis did, along with Gary, that's Gary, here, Dennis moved into this boarding house back on down on campus at Ohio State, and they started to do Bible studies on the campus in this house. It's called the Fish House, and the reason they called it the Fish House is because in the 70s, which a lot of you probably weren't even, were only a twinkle in God's eye at that point, they were publishing an underground newspaper, which was very popular in the 70s. The underground newspaper was called The Fish. Hence, that boarding house was nicknamed The Fish House. And that's how, if you talk to somebody who was around in the 70s, they'll say, oh yeah, I went to The Fish House. And that's The Fish House. So in the 70s, Gary and Dennis, well, Dennis was first, and then he influenced Gary to come to Christ. They just started doing Bible studies at this house. Started in 1970. I think by 1974, there were about a dozen home groups, about 200 people, loosely affiliated. And that was the beginning of it all. They were convinced of this whole concept of the home group. Everybody had a role to play. And so that's where it got started. On our website, there is a, you can read it quickly, it's called The Brief History of Xenos. It talks about who influenced Gary and Dennis as they went through this, a big division that we had in 1990. So it gives you the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so this is where it got all started. And this is where we are today. This is the latest facts I could find. There's 30 junior high groups, and these junior high groups are same sex. They're boys and girls back then, so there are 30 different groups. The junior high kids meet every Sunday night in their little home group, and then I think they come together every other Friday night that all the kids come together. There are 100 adult groups spread all over Columbus right now. There's 55 college groups and 44 high school groups. Each, other than the junior high, they'd be a little different. Each home group would be similar, and we'll talk about what a normal home group meeting would look like. But that's where we are today. Started off with, and then this is the attendance, which is really, I think, fantastic. Junior high, there's just 280 kids. But this is what I think is unbelievable. 727 high school kids, 1,600, almost 1,700 college kids. So right now, there are more young people involved in our church than adults. There's more young, yeah, praise Jesus, yeah. That was intentional. I forget how many years ago, I think the college group had 50 kids in it, and the elders realized that we were headed down a bad path. And so they sent the absolute best workers we had into the high school and college ranks to begin to do high school and college home groups. And that was the beginning of turning it around. I'm not good with years. It's been maybe 10, 12 years or something like that. But and so that's, we're really excited about this. I don't know what it is, but last year, they, between the college and high school kids, they had an average of one salvation a day for a year. They had over 365 kids accept Christ in a year. And so, yeah, unbelievable the great work that's going down there. The challenge is to keep those kids coming back. But and I don't know what, I haven't seen statistics for this year in terms of salvations. But there's some great, this gives us great joy to see how many young people are sold out to, want their lives to count for Christ. And so that's where we are today. That's where we are. In the last 12 months, there's been 19 plants. That's what we call when a house outgrows, when people outgrow your house, and there's just not enough room for the people, we call it a plant. And so we've seen 3 adult plants, 7 college plants, 4 high school and 5 junior high. And so we'll talk about some of the challenges that come with it. But that's what's gone on in the last 12 months at Xenos. Yeah, it's not boring. I can tell you that. As a home group leader, it is not boring. There's 677 trained high school home group leaders in the fellowship. And I'll tell you what it's going to take to be a trained leader here. Some of the people will lead more than one group. Like a college kid who's leading a college group, they will also help lead a high school group. And so a lot of the high school groups are led by college age and college students. Yeah. Which makes that really exciting, too. So, as you can imagine, all right. So that's where we are. That's a quick thing. And so what is the structure of a home group? Let's get down to the nuts and bolts. Leadership. The leadership of a home group here at Xenos is almost entirely a team of lay leaders. And I say almost everybody because our elders, and if you're on staff, you must be a part of a home group. You can't work for Xenos and not be fully engaged in a home group. A lot of the elders and staff will be leaders of a home group. It's not a requirement, but you must be involved. But the elders and the staff, you lead a home group on your it's volunteer. The elders don't get paid. Staff people don't get paid to lead a home group. They have to do it just like the guy who's working 40 hours a week and the wife's got 3 kids and works 10 hours a week. The elders got to do the same thing. And it makes sense. It's a little hard for the elders to call upon lay people to do something that they're not doing. And so all of our elders, everybody is involved in a home group. And again, if you want to work for Xenos at the school or anything, you've got to be involved in a home group because we're convinced your spiritual well-being is going to be tied to being in this community where you're receiving God's love and giving away God's love. Okay? Please stop me anytime. Because I can talk. Oh, Lord Jesus, I can talk. So, a leadership team. They're named leaders and a lead team. In a home group, there would never be one person ever leading a home group at Xenos. Ideally, we like to have at least 3. Sometimes we'll send out a couple. If a couple, like my husband and I have we can say, honestly, we have years of experience leading home groups. Now, again, how successful that's been up and down. But the least would be 1 couple. But then often what you have when you have name leaders in a group, you'll have a lead team. And so my husband and I are the name leaders of our home group, but we have 2 other couples that are a part of our lead team. And so the 6 of us will get together monthly and talk about the home group. Okay? So every home group is going to have leaders. And so Adult world. This is the adult world meeting schedule, okay? This is what it would look like at Xenos. You're going to have weekly home group meetings. You're going to have cell groups, which are just same-sex groups. Usually it's your committed people. Depending on the size of your group and leaders, it can be as few as 4 or 5. I think right now we have 12 or 14 because we're not sure how we're going to plant the group. And you plant groups based on relationships, so we don't want to get all these relationships mingled in like spaghetti and then have them separate. Planting is just a term we use like when you outgrow your house and you got more people, then you plant a new group. You'll get a new set of leaders. You have a new set of leaders. Like we were in a home group with Chris and Kirk Deacon and Jim Tofano and Ellen. And we had, I think, close to 40 people in our house, and we just can't do it anymore. And so Chris and Kirk led about 20 of those people and went to their house and actually started a whole new home group. So we planted, thanks for asking, yeah, so that we planted a new group. Yeah. Sure. So cell groups, we have a weekly, most adult home groups will have a weekly prayer meeting where your home group gets together and prays for the lost, people you're trying, yeah. Yeah, sure.
So you keep just adding, and then you just decide, okay, we don't have room anymore, and then that's how you determine your split. So you don't, like, have your groups or anything like
No, uh-uh. No, because the heart of it is more people come into Christ. We'll talk about it, but the biggest issue that we're facing in the adult ranks right now is leadership. We've got some ideas what we've done, but raising up new leaders is a challenge. It's counting the cost. There's a cost. Sleep. I mean, it's a novel idea. Who needs to sleep, for crying out loud? Yeah. So if we can't get the leaders raised up, then that, because the other thing we found, houses can only hold so many people. So your group grows and grows and grows, and is it 20%? You can only grow to 80% that your room will hold. And then what happens if the leadership's not there? You keep bouncing up and down until you can finally get some leaders, and then you plant. So that's a challenge. And then a big meeting, which we call, I think some people you guys might call worship service, we call it our central teaching, which is once a week, adults, it's Sunday morning, where a cluster of home groups will get together. We have a 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock teaching for our sphere of 20-some home groups. About 11 of them go at 9, and the other 11 go at 11. So
you do split up into different CTs with your own group, in your case?
Yeah. No. Our sphere, 4th Street Sphere, has about 27 home groups. And the building wouldn't hold all 27 home groups. Yeah. So half of them will commit to do the 9 o'clock central teaching. The other half of this group will go, all the home groups will go to the 11 o'clock. Yeah. So when you teach the main meeting, you teach it twice. So this is a sample weekly schedule. This is probably what you're thinking, want to see. So Sunday, for our home group, we meet from 9:30 to 10:30 to pray, and then we go to 11 o'clock central teaching. Fortunately, our house is really close to somebody else in our home church. It's just a street apart. And so we have all the kids at our house to pray. We have all the kids at our house. We rotate who gets to babysit, and then we go pray at another person's house. So the kids have a blast. So we have a couple other home groups that we do this together. So the kids have a blast. They hang out, play from 9:30 to 10:30. We go to another house. We pray for the health of the church, all kinds of different stuff, for people that we're trying to talk to about Christ. Come back, and then we go real close to the 4th Street and have our main meeting, our central teaching. We have home group every Thursday night. Yeah.
Sorry. What do the kids do during the central meeting?
We have an excellent kids program. Okay. It's called Oasis. I don't know what it all stands for. Excellent program. Matter of fact, we have a lot of adults come back because their kids are saying, I'm going to go back to that Bible study. So the elders have put their money where their mouth is, hired some folks to develop a good curriculum, and yeah, so they have a really good staff that works with infants all the way to fifth grade or something in the Oasis.
Outside of the central meeting, though, you guys figure out as your group.
Each home group would figure out what teaching series you're going to do.
I mean, they figure out what they do with their children.
At prayer meeting and at your home church, each group will be different, and I'm going to talk about something that's helped that here. So that's, and then Tuesday night is when you'd have your men's and women's Bible study, the cell group. So men would be one Tuesday, men and women. That would be a pretty standard schedule for most adult groups at Xenos.
Just out of curiosity, on this schedule, you have men's, women. Is that the same men, or is that a different group of men?
Nope, same men.
So
same men.
Twice a month,
just men and women, yeah. So that would be a pretty standard schedule. And then discipleship time, we'll talk about this a little bit later, where you're getting one-on-one with people, you would do that all kinds of crazy times. Some guys get together at 6:30 before work, after work, lunch times, dinner, right before cell group, so that would go through it. All right? No, it's too big. Because our home group, we don't have a plant plan in mind. All the men get together and all the women get together. And plants are going to go based on relation. You don't just arbitrarily pick one. You know, you don't go 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. All the ones go here and all the twos go there. It's relational. And so you want to, any way possible, you want to try to keep relational lines together. And so our house is nice because we have pocket doors. And so a lot of times what we'll do is everybody meets together and we'll be studying the same thing, but half will meet in the living room, half in the dining room, just to get a little bit smaller. But until we have a plan, we don't want to unnecessarily disrupt relationships. And the older we get, the harder it is to build relationships. And so you might got in the college group, you can be friends in 2 minutes. Yeah. Oh, you want to plant? Sure. Okay, great. Off we go. Oh, adults. Jeez. So what about babysitting, right? What do you do with young kids? I think this graph. Yeah. There's all different ways to do it. What we've seen is maybe two couples will hook up together. And so one parent stays home and babysits this week, and then the other three come together and you just rotate through. And so one parent out of four, you miss only one home group out of four and you get to come the other three. So a lot of parents do. Some people hire babysitters just for these two, and then the wife comes this one and the husband comes this one. It's all different ways you can do that. And then you'd ask the question about kids. We just started a thing called Home Oasis Program, the HOP program. And if you have, I think it's 9 or 11 children under maybe fifth grade or fourth grade or something, the fellowship has a program where parents pay a small amount of money and the fellowship provides babysitters. High school kids and college kids that they have done all the police and all that kind of stuff. And these high school and college kids will come in and watch your kids for 2 hours and do a little study with them. And then the adults sometimes are in a different house just down the street, or they're upstairs and the kids are downstairs. And the adults have 2 hours of uninterrupted time just to be with adults. And so it's called a Home Oasis Program. If you want more information, I can get that for you. And so there's all, you can, however creative you want to be, that's what you can do with babysitting. Some people actually will bring, some home groups have people bring their kids to the meeting, which, you know, it's got its pros and cons. It's great, everybody can bring their kids. It's a little chaotic. We tried that once, and the kids had this sense, and as soon as they heard the parents talking, they were right down in the mix, and so it made it hard to have any kind of a significant conversation. But people work it out. They work it out, yeah. Was there a question? Or? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people. Yeah, people meet any Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and there are some Friday. If you take a class at Xenos, it's usually Wednesday night class or Saturday morning. And so most home groups do not meet Wednesday night because that's a class night. Sometimes I think there'll be about 800 people on here, up here on a Wednesday night for classes. So, so nobody meets on Wednesday night. So it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday are the big nights, and there are a few Friday nighters that they'll meet Friday night, so you can stay later since nobody usually has to work on Saturday. So that would be, if you're in college, you would have nothing on Sunday morning. As you can imagine, if you're in college, you're not getting up on Sunday mornings, but you'd have home church every Monday night. You might be taking a class on Wednesday, you'd have cell group every Friday night, and then you'd have a prayer meeting some other time. Yeah. So the college kids have their cell groups every week, home group every week, and their central meeting every week. And then a lot of them will be taking a class on Wednesday night. So the pushback, I don't know if pushback is the right word. But it's challenging. Did you have a question?
No.
Okay. This is challenging because we live in a culture where your kids are supposed to be in about a sport every season, and supposed to be having all these different opportunities, and you're working many hours to have a career, to make a lot of money, to buy a big house, to move into a nicer school district, and the list goes on and on. And so values are exposed in a situation like this. What you believe is best for your children, and what you believe is true about the world we live in and whether or not heaven really exists, is often exposed at this point. You're tired when you come home from work. You're tired if you're a mother of three little kids. You are tired. At least I was really tired. We had four and under. And so I felt in this time, God was saying, why are you following me? Because it's easy? Because it's fun? Because my temperament is one who likes to have fun? Or are you following me because I died for you? And that this is you're convinced that this is the best way and the most effective way to follow me. And so it's challenging. And some people just say no. So you had a question or? Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just that oblivious. You know?
Yeah.
Then I was challenged, and I was like, of course, resistant.
Right.
And then I got to thinking about it, and over time, you decide, you know what? What was I looking for? You know?
Right, right. What really is important?
It is kind of like a process.
It is a process, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
What percentage of your attenders are in groups?
I think the last time I read it was about
80%.
Attenders at Central Teaching are engaged in home group. Yeah. If you'd ask somebody about Zenos, they'd say, we are a bunch of home groups that happen to have a Central Teaching. The focus and the emphasis at Zenos is the home group. And CT is seen as a way almost to facilitate the home group because you have absolutely excellent teaching. It is a place you know you could bring your non-believing friend and they will hear a great explanation of the gospel every Sunday. And so for some of us that have non-Christian friends, I'm going to bring that you bring them there because you know they're going to hear an excellent explanation of the gospel. Every teaching. Gary is masterful at it. Every teaching you know your non-Christian friend. But then sometimes if you have a non-Christian friend who you know loves community, then you bring them to a home group and let them experience the friendships and the, and so you just kind of figure out what's best. One of the elders in our fellowship, Conrad Hilario, he introduced Dennis. For his master's thesis, he did this study on Zenos kids who made it, who were actually walking in the college group. And he found some was not surprising, some of it was. He found that those kids whose parents were engaged and really trying to follow Christ, whether they were, you know, the superstar, anything like that, they were just, they were engaged, serving and following Christ. That was the highest percentage of kids who made it to serve in the college ministry. The next bunch of kids who did better were kids of parents who did not know Christ and were not involved. The third class who had the most difficult time with their own Christian walk were kids who were coming from parents who were minimally involved. And we're just kind of playing church, just showing up for meetings. Those kids were the least, not successful is not the right term, but they were the least successful in transitioning to keep following Christ. I mean, it makes sense. Who wants mediocre? Our kids don't want mediocre anything. You want mediocre Christianity. The world system is a lot more exciting than mediocre Christianity, for crying out loud. And so, it is challenging. It's a very challenging value system compared to the world that we live in and compared to what our culture has doing with kids. Yeah, yeah. So that would be, yeah. So isn't it too much time? Because if you take a Wednesday class, that would be this plus Wednesday class. So you, as a man, you could be out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. It's a lot of time in that, whoa, that's just crazy, crazy talk. Well, this is from Dennis's book, Members of One Another. He says, too much time? He says, as modern people, we have lives to live, things to do. Any group like this that showed up today would be rejected as a cult. It's bizarre. Or is it? Maybe our lives are bizarre. In Western cities, many think it's normal for people to spend whole series of days and nights without any meaningful human relating. Many in the modern West see nothing strange about a life where we have never experienced actual intimacy with a community of people. We live in a culture where millions choose a video-based entertainment stupor over deep relationships. Going out several nights a week to Bible studies or hangouts with Christian friends sounds far out and unreasonable to us. But sitting night after night, slack jaw, in front of an LCD screen, watching something we can't quite remember, or playing the same video game over and over makes perfect sense. So, this is Dennis's book, Members of One Another, How to Build a Biblical Ethos into Your Church. This is not about Xenos. What it is Dennis has gone through and picked out the biblical principles of community and has laid them out. It's a great book. It's an excellent book to begin to think through what would a community look like. What if yeah, what does a biblical community look like? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And then sometimes our hanging out with one another is to go out with your neighbor. And so you and I would go out and you'd say, hey, I'm going to go out with my neighbor for a cup of coffee. Why don't you come with me? And then I'd go with you. My friend Kathy Dillon and I get together and study. And she is, this woman Tammy is really close to accepting Christ. And so she goes and has coffee with her. She, can you come? We're going to have coffee at 10:45 at this local. Can you come? I'm like, sure. And so part of our hanging out then is intentional to try whenever possible. Let's go hang out with your non-Christian coworker or neighbor or whatever. But yeah, that's absolutely part of it. And that's what makes it really fun. We're not just hanging out with each other. God, we're boring after a while. But yeah, that is like, oh yeah, yeah. But she's going to become the home group, we think, next Thursday. We've slowly loved her, had some cookouts. She's come to the cookouts. And now we're not so weird. And so she's thinking, yeah, because, yeah, so. Yeah. So, a home church meeting format. If you came to a home group meeting, what would it look like? 15 to 50 Christians and non-Christians, men and women, meet in a member's house. We currently have 4 non-Christians coming to home group. They are, you know that average where they say 7 times someone needs to hear the gospel before they accept Christ? We have blown that statistic out of the water. These guys come to central teaching and home group over, and I bet you they've heard the gospel 150 times. It's like, Lord, what? Holy cow. But, so you have Christians and non-Christians who come to this meeting, all right? Half an hour, anywhere from half hour, 10 minutes, people come, you hang out, you chat, get caught up, how blah, 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 you know, what do you think of the Browns? They suck. Well, yeah, what else is new, you know? And then the actual meeting itself is just about an hour from beginning to end. We'll pray, and our group and a lot of groups, we're going more to a Bible discussion. But this does not mean a pooling of ignorance. That's not what we mean by that. Whoever's leading the discussion will have studied the passage, understand the passage, and they're leading a discussion very intentionally. And so they've had prepared questions. We'll send them out ahead of time on email so people can look at them. But you'll have in your mind where you want the discussion to go, what points need to be discussed, how you want people to interact. And what's really cool is often the Holy Spirit will bring up things you never even thought about in this discussion. But often, whoever leads the discussion, they'll have a couple points that they want to make sure that comes out. So it's a guided discussion. We'll close in prayer. And then people hang out afterwards. And some people will hang out for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Some people half an hour. Some people till 11 or 12 o'clock at night, just depending on what's going on, the conversations. And so that would be a typical home group meeting. And you could go to high school, college, or adult, and you're going to see this kind of a structure for the actual meeting. And that's what goes on every Thursday. Yeah, or whatever it wants. Yeah.
Sorry for all the questions.
No.
I have a question. So you guys each decide what you're studying on your very own. Like,
our home group, yeah.
Does it have nothing to do with what's being taught centrally or anything like that?
There are some groups that do that.
And does the staff provide
no.
that?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah,
that it seems to have worked well for them. Like, oh, I think we're doing 1 John at the main meeting. Our home group studying 1 Thessalonians.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
you have a resource? I'm sorry. A resource
yeah.
for getting, so like Right Now Media, like those kind of, I don't know if you've heard of that, the places to get content?
We know how we use our own website. If you haven't been on xenos.org, there are thousands of free, everything's free.
Okay.
Nothing costs. And part of the reason is because we're committed to lay leadership, and the elders don't think it's very fair to say, I want you to lead my home group, but it's going to cost you some money. So it's cost us quite a bit of money, but everything is free. So there's classes, there's CT, everything. Did you question?
Yeah, you guys, they also have a suite of studies that we're on the web.
Yeah.
So that's a resource I'm like, most churches have. But you guys, if you only do expository Bible discussions, correct? You don't have book studies?
No, not at home church.
Yeah.
Now in cell groups, like our women's study is Studying Love, Not the World by Watchman Nee. So we'll just sit and read it and discuss it. Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that. So
good. Thank you.
Yeah. Everyone's studying the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And then what the elders have done is they offer teaching through guided discussion. So there's a class that you can take it. Gary often teaches a homiletics class in the summer that you'll go, and it's a 5-week class. He has 2 weeks of content, and then you teach 2 out of those next 3 weeks. And your peers critique you and give you feedback. And so there's a homiletics class. And Leffel teaches a hermeneutics class. And so there is resources galore. But they also want each one of us to study God's word and not just spit back out what Gary said or spit back out what Leffel said. And so there's a strong emphasis that each one of us needs to study God's word. Now, everybody loves Gary's teaching because he puts them all on. His notes are all right on the internet, which is very helpful. But it's the idea that each home group leadership team, you know the needs of your people. The elders don't, and so you know what they need. You know if they need to be reminded of the value of discipleship. You know what they need, and so that's why the elders would say, no, that's your job to figure out what your home group needs to study. Yeah. Well, the home group leaders, I'll talk about that later, yeah. But we have things called insultants, also known as a consultant, but we like to call ourselves insultants, yes. So, home groups and evangelism, why do we think they're so good for evangelism? Again, something you guys already know, John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, how would anybody be able to love anybody in a group of 400 to meet once a week? You just can't. You can be really nice, and it's almost easier, isn't it? Because then you'd never have to deal with any sin or bad habits, and nobody has to deal with my sin and bad habits, right? John 17:21-23, that they may all be in one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, even as you have loved me. Only in community can people, I know scores of people who came to Christ, not because they could have cared less about the message of Jesus. That was like, who cares? But there's something about the way you love one another. I remember I had one gal who said, I want friends like you have. So it's rooted in Jesus, but you're welcome to come, see what we got. And she did. This is a quote from, I think this is originated with Schaefer. He says, as Christians, we must not minimize the need to give honest answers to honest questions. We should have an intellectual apologetic, a defense of our faith. Yet without true Christians loving one another, Christ says the world cannot be expected to listen even when we give good answers. Let us be careful indeed to give honest answers. For years the church has done it poorly, but after we have done our best to communicate these answers, still we must never to forget that the final apologetic which Jesus gives is the observable love for true Christians, for true Christians. It is only in small groups where you are rubbing elbows with people almost daily sometimes that you actually get close enough to people that you have to love them by the love of Christ, right? The big thing we've been talking around is nice. Oh, it's easy to be nice, but it's really hard to love people. A lot of us, we go on a vacation together or in our home group. We got 3 houses. I'm leaving tomorrow. Yes, but 17th year. We go down, you got other people's kids. Anybody here is a parent? Other people's kids are really cute for about 3 days, right? And my kids are really cute for about 3 days. Day four, they can't stand my kids. I can't stand their kids. I'm like, that little brat, blah, blah, blah. And I remember getting really depressed. I thought, oh, if I just love Jesus more, I'd love their children. He's like, no, you knucklehead. You are actually living out body life. You are finally close enough to one another that they have to forbear and put up with you, and you have to forbear and put up with them. That you have to forgive. That you have to, by God's power, to be patient and to be kind. And it was liberating, because I used to be so bummed, because day two or day three, depending on the kid, I couldn't stand them. And they didn't like my kids. But then I realized, no, this is what's attractive. That we're working through that. Oh, I'm so sorry I said that. That was really insensitive of me. They forgive. Right? And so how, it's the final apologetic. This is a great little book by Francis Schaeffer. It's a little pamphlet. What's it called? Oh, shoot. The Mark of a Christian, I believe, is the name of this little book by Schaeffer. It's called The Mark of a Christian. And this is where this is where Gary's quote comes from Francis Schaeffer. You get it at our study center. Yeah. So, there are a couple of different ways home groups are great for evangelism. One is come and see. They see you loving each other. They see you move each other. They see you fix dinner, hang out together. So that's attractive. But the other thing that we've seen and been an issue in us is go and be. Don't just have a holy huddle where isn't this lovely. But then you and possibly another, someone in your home group, go out into the community and love people. And so you go out in the community and you love people, and then you get disappointed, then you get hurt, you get confused, and what do? You come back to your home group and says, man, that's harder than I thought. And your home group member's like, yeah, go back. Have at it. Yes, Jesus loves you. Go, right? And you, well, that guy's a jerk. Well, of course he's a jerk, and you are too, so what else is new? Like, come on, let's go, right? So you come back to your home group, you're encouraged, you're corrected, you're supported, and then you go back out. When our kids went to the neighborhood public school, and my husband and I and some other people in our home group and some other home groups, we served at that neighborhood school together. And you know what? Because God was there, it's a better school when we were there because of Jesus Christ. It was great. And they knew that we were Christians, and they didn't like us. They even had a group against us, Mothers Against Xenos. And I took it quite like a successful, like, oh, yeah, we're really. But they couldn't hate us because we were really involved and we served the school. But they wanted to. So there's all different ways you can go and be. Some fun things, some serving ways, right? Public schools, golly, Neds, that's my own personal thing. How schools need intact families to go and be part of it. Single parent refugees, internationals, IFI, hospitals. There's a limited way that we can go and go serve our community and let them know the reason we're serving is not because we're nice people, but because we know Jesus Christ and he died for us and he loves you too. So it's excellent for evangelism. Discipleship. So this is what I mean by discipleship, because I said, what is a home church good for? Evangelism, discipleship in the context of community. Discipleship, regular mentoring, friendship with home group members who want to grow in their relationship with and their ability to serve Christ. And so home groups, I get together with three different women in our home group on a regular basis. We're studying books together. We read together. We'll talk about our lives and the latest fight you had with your kid or your spouse or who you tried to help come to know Christ. And we pray together, counsel together, and serve together. Generally speaking, this is what would make up a discipleship relationship at Xenos. Usually weekly, often over years. It's relational. You just don't sit there and talk about the Bible. It's relational with content. One person with one person, maybe two. Same gender. You read, study the Bible or spiritual books. You pray. And then that couples with couples. These things are done outside of those meetings. Usually about an hour and a half. And this is where you can get super flexible. Like, again, my husband gets together with Mark Murphy on Thursday mornings at 6:30. And they get from 6:30 to about 7:45, and then they both head off to work. Yeah?
How are these different than your cell groups?
Yep. Yeah, cell groups are bigger. And the people you disciple are usually those who really do want their lives to count to Christ. And they want to study, and they want to be more effective.
So cell groups are
who want, yeah. Each home group is a little different. Sometimes they'll want a little higher commitment, not just somebody just shows up once every 6 months. but a little higher commitment. They're committed to the work of the group. Because our cell groups are primarily there to support the work of the home group. And so people know that. And you'd explain that when you'd say, hey, if you want to come into our cell group, this is what we're about. This is how often we meet. We'd expect some level of commitment. You know, you don't have to slice your finger and give us blood. But it can't because I want to stay home and watch a movie tonight. So the cell groups are same sex. And often the people you're going to disciple are those people that have voiced or communicated, I would like to take a greater role of service in the home group. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's who might be the next set of leaders. Yeah. Yeah. Like Conrad said last night, he and Dennis have been meeting for 17 years. So Dennis has discipled Conrad all those years to the point of eldership. And I think they still meet. Gary and Dennis have known each other for 40 years. They still meet weekly. Yeah. Home groups are great for discipleship. Yeah, go ahead, Joy.
Sorry, really quick.
No.
What happens within the context of the cell group?
What are cell groups?
Yeah, we have a larger group of just all guys. I mean, they just hang out?
No.
How structured is it?
Pretty structured. They all come. Lisa and I, like my husband's group, they all come, hang out, chit-chat. But they're studying the book of James.
Okay.
And so there's been two guys have each taken a section of James, and they lead the discussion.
Nice.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Get everybody involved, a little over an hour.
Okay.
And it's all believers. And so if these guys do a horrible job, you're not going to lose anybody. And then it gives everybody in that group to rise to the occasion, help these two dudes out that are clearly not gifted and struggling. Well, don't sit there and judge them. Come on, help them along. Yeah. And then hang out afterwards. And that could change. That'll go. Sometimes there's who knows how late they are. Yeah.
So are the cell groups strictly for believers then?
You know, some primarily, normally, yes. Now, I know some cell groups who will have a non-Christian come in. We did it for a short study. Hey, we're going to study this thing. You have three non-Christians who seem kind of interested. Tell them we're just studying this thing so they don't think. You have to have that little uncomfortable conversation up front. And say, hey, we're going to study marriage for 4 weeks. Would you like to come to study 4 weeks of marriage? And then see what happens after that. Yeah, yeah. But primarily, it's going to be for Christians because it is committed to the church. But I think there's definitely room for flexibility. It doesn't have, again, what's the need of your group? What's the need of your people? What's the interest? And so that's where, as home group leaders, you get to make those kind of calls. Yeah. And discipleship, the nice thing, when you're discipling somebody, and we're reading, Danielle and I are reading The Call to Joy and Pain by Fernanda, who's coming next year. She gets to practice some of that stuff we've read right in the group. And she has access to somebody else other than just me, right? So I might be primarily getting with her, but she's got all kinds of interactions. Yeah. Okay.
Our cell group, we're all meeting now for the summer together. The summer
okay.
is a lot easier because some of us still have kids.
Right, you can stay up. Yep.
But during the school year, we had some of our older folks who don't work anymore out there
right.
at home. They were getting together at one point and getting together and doing their cell group, and then some of the others of us were getting together and doing the cell group. So we weren't
right.
splitting, but it allowed for a better conversation.
Sure,
and
sure. That's. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. Excellent point. Yeah. 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 We have a woman whose husband is not a Christian, but she wants to be involved in a cell group. So they meet, the couple of like three or four women meet during the day when her husband's at work, so she doesn't have to be out at night. So that's the same thing. What was the need of the home group and what was the need of the person so you can be flexible? Yeah. We will invite them, talk to them.
If someone asks and you don't think they're ready or they're not a believer, you might tell them no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Well, but you don't just say, no, you can't come. I'd explain it to them. this is what this is about. This is what we want to do. This is what we're going to do. Do you really think you'd be interested? And sometimes you really can't ask people to commit until I say, come 3 times. And then we'll talk about whether or not you want to be in this. But there, I mean, there is, as a home group leader, one of the things that adults don't like is these uncomfortable conversations. And so you need to have them and say, you know, you want to come to cell group, but you haven't been to home church for 6 months. The best place for you to come is the home group, because that's where you give and receive. So cell group probably really isn't an option for you. We'd love to have you, but we'd like to see some commitment to this home. This is just not when you feel like coming. I've had to have a couple of those conversations with people. I mean, and we love you, and you're welcome to come to home group, but if you're going to come to cell group, you need to come. And if you're not, that's fine, but yeah. Yeah.
So you say you have like 40 people in your group.
We are like low 30s right now.
Okay. So
yeah.
How many people actually come? Or is it pretty much they all come?
Well, on our roster is about 36, but we're almost high 20s, low 30s right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now, God's really good. That, I mean, he's always good, but it is, we got lots of brokenness in our home group, but people are coming out. It is a work of God. Yeah. Dennis's book, Organic Discipleship Making, it is like an encyclopedia. It is an excellent, excellent book on discipleship from selection all the way up until the point where you are sending them off to do their own ministry. Excellent, excellent resource. It's here. Home groups is a community. I know we're running out of time. I want to get to planning. The heart of a home group, it's more than just that structure. Think about Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves. We all know what it's like to devote yourself to something. Think about Michael Phelps when he was devoted to swimming. His whole life revolved around swimming. Devoted themselves to this community. And so the health of your home group is going to be tied to people having dinners together. Babe switching, baby sitting off, all doing life together outside of the meeting. As we all know, without structures, you will never grow spiritually. But a structure alone doesn't guarantee it, right? So, again, I made this point at the beginning. The whole home group is there to discover your gifts and play a role. That was it Dennis that was saying last night that we all have a role to play in God's incredible plan to reconcile the world back to himself. Home groups are one of the key, there's other ways, but home group is a great way that you can discover your gift and your role to help more people enter into God's kingdom. And ultimately, it's there for others. Okay, who leads a home group? Lay people, majority led by lay people, we talked about that. Leaders are developed primarily through discipleship. I spent time with my really good friend Chris for years, and my husband spent time with Kirk. And then over time, they were raised up, and they went and they started a home group. And Chris and I still get together. So it's primarily through discipleship. Xenos would never hire someone from outside to lead the church. Criteria, what would you have to think about to become a home group leader at Xenos? Character, right, 1 Timothy 3. Relationships, do you have healthy relationship with your family, within the home group, outside the home group? Knowledge, there are 6 quarters of classes that you have to take to become a home group leader with quizzes. I get to teach 4 of those. There's quizzes, homework, finals. There's a 4 quarters that you'll take a comprehensive test after the 4 quarters. And then after you take those 6 and you become a home group leader, you promise to take a couple other leadership classes in addition to that. Ministry, are you loving people? Are you a committed servant? Is anyone following them? In John 10, right, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd because the shepherd has laid his life down for the sheep. It's a horrible thing to put someone up to leadership and there's absolutely nobody who knows their voice because they've not loved anybody or served anyone sufficiently that they would trust you. So that's the other issue. Bill Lawrence came many years ago when the Summer Institute was on leadership. He had this illustration that often we think of the functional issue of leadership and not the character. But without both of them, they're never going to be able to hold a book. And so these are issues. We want to see, are people functioning? Are they loving people? Are they, you know, knowing their word? But is the character in line and are they continuing to grow? Unfortunately, we have people who are taken out by porn habits that are not being addressed, that's hidden, that there's no success. bad marriages. Those are the kind of things. They're character issues that we take really seriously. So you're observed over time and nominated by a home group leader. We're hoping to nominate a couple in our home group. They're great people. There's a servant covenant that you'll see on the website. You could go look that up. All it does is merely clarify the expectations of a home group leader. When we had this division back in 1990, a lot of it was because we did not have clear expectations for leadership. All home group leaders would be approved by the elders. And there are 677 trained leaders. Okay, finally. So that's the development leaders, who they are, what they do, how they love, what they know and believe. How do we plant home groups? Your question. I have to thank Phil Frank for these graphics. So, raising up leaders is the key. So the heart of it is multiplying subgroups. So here, you got a home church. Within one home church, there are two cell groups. There's a men's cell group of maybe 15, 16 or something, and you have a women's cell group. Each cell group is going to be led by two leaders because you're never going to send out a group with just one leader. So you got two men leaders, two women leaders. Okay? Got one large cell group, two men leaders, two women leaders. They are doing the work of encouraging people, training people, reaching people for Christ, and your cell groups grow. Your home group grows. Your cell group grows. The leaders are discipling somebody. And then over time, you have two cell groups. See? So then you have two cell groups, and then when you have the two cell groups, you're bringing along a leader with you. And we made that go really slow because it does take time. So my friend Chris and I were in a cell group together. She was discipling Danielle. I was discipling Kathy. Over time, we get enough women. Those two groups split. And now you have two men's cell groups and two women's cell groups. Okay? And then one men's cell group, one women's cell group becomes the heart of a new home church. And so that is, we call that a conventional plant. They do this frequently in the college group. It doesn't go so quickly in the adult world because it just takes a lot longer. I'll talk about that. And then you send them off with their cells to form two home groups. That is how traditionally home groups are planted in Xenos. You got leaders. Leaders are discipling people. The cell groups get too large. You plant two cell groups. A men and women's cell group goes off. A men and women's cell group off. And you have two men, two women's leaders. So you have four leaders. Does that make sense? Okay. That's what happens frequently in the college group. And it happens in the adult world, too. But here's what we're seeing more in the adult world. Our home church, let's say we have low 30s right now. Joey's home group has low 30s. Mike and I, by God's grace, we've raised up one new set of leaders. Joey and his wife have raised up a new set of leaders. What we do then, Home Church A, which is Mike and I would send out one set of leaders with 10 people. Joey's group would send out a set of leaders with 10 people. And those two groups would come together and form a new home group. It's called cooperative plant. What we're finding is that adult home groups can usually raise up one set of leaders. And Joey's group can raise up one set of leaders. But it's really hard to get 40-some adults in one house. Adults just won't sit on top of each other like a college kid will. And so houses aren't big enough to have 45 people spread all out. And then it takes many, many years to get that many people and to get two sets of leaders raised up in each home church. And so then what each home group does is each home group contributes a set of leaders and about 10 people, a set of leaders, 10 people, and you come together and you form a new home group. The college kids do this all the time. Adult, you got to date for a while and get to know each other. College kids just say, hey, we're going to plant 2 weeks. Okay, great. Let's start a new home group. And they just get along great and off they go. It's a little bit slower. But this is a cooperative plant, and this is what we're seeing much more frequently in the adult world. Does that make sense? It's doable. Because the challenge is if you wait too long and it takes years and years to plant, people lose the vision that planting's even possible. And so you have to find the balance of spending time and helping people to grow and mature sufficiently, but not wait so long and expect perfection that you never plant. And so this is a cooperative plant. We're doing that a lot more now. Each home group then, either by traditional plant or cooperative plant, they function independently. They have their own teachings. Most home groups do their own weddings, their funerals, exercise church discipline with approval of the elders. A home group would never, ever exercise church discipline without going through the eldership first. Evangelism, discipleship. So it's all in the area of a home group leader. Yet, we're under the elders' authority, under their authority for leadership, and we're under their authority to decide who ultimately will be leaders and for training. Okay? And then what we help with each new set of home group leaders is a plural trained leader team, and we'll often look at a composition of gifting. So you have teachers, you have administrators, you have shepherds, you have leaders. Ideally, you want all that kind of into a team. Each home group leadership team has a consultant. I happen to be a consultant for our sphere. And we're paid, it's a paid position, and we get together with home group leaders about once every month, once every 5 or 6 weeks. So we'll get together with all the home group leaders, or sometimes I get together with just the men or just the women. And we listen and encourage and do whatever we can to help them be successful. One home group I oversee, they had a huge division in their leadership team. And so I had many meetings with those guys trying to work out this division. So there's that. There's a leaders retreat once a year. And then we have leaders meetings twice a year. So that's a retreat where we get to go away for a weekend, which is just wonderful. Then there's always classes. There's the Summer Institute. There's Trinity, Divinity, Extension. But there's leadership classes, offers. There's just all kinds of stuff. We're spoiled, rotten, really. And then there's a servant team e-group. And then there's the website. And there is a huge amount of free resources. Staggering. Staggering. All papers, teachings, classes. Just a lot that's there for free. So that is an introduction to home group. If you guys have got your questions answered, you're welcome to leave. If you have more questions, I'd love to talk more. Anybody has any questions or comments or... Yeah.
For college students, I imagine that you have some moving into the area, going to school for years, and then heading off. How does that work with...
It's really remarkable, the number of the college students that never leave. They want to stay involved in fellowship. And so there is a small percentage of kids that once they get really engaged in fellowship, leave. And again, we're not the only game in town. And so if somebody leaves, we encourage them strongly. Wherever you go, make sure that you are spending as much time looking at your options for a church and community as you are for your job. Yeah, and so our four kids don't want to leave Columbus because they found they're engaged, they're serving, they got a role. And so a lot of them don't leave. Yeah. And that's why the college ministry is growing like crazy. Yeah. In the college group, they'll have a college group, and what often they do, almost every college group have these things called ministry houses, where a lot of the guys in the home group will rent a house together. And a lot of the girls in the home group will rent a house together, and they live together. And then what happens is those ministry houses get too big, and they just, it's like 12 girls in one bathroom. And then they'll take, based on relationships, half those girls will go rent a new house. And then both those houses will get more kids. And often the ministry house would be the basis of how you're going to plant your home group. Yeah. Yeah.
How when you transition your college students into adult home groups?
That is the mystery. I wish I could say we have this really refined plan, but we don't. It's been real haphazard. Ryan Lowry, who's one of our elders, he was in the college ministry, and he just brought up, I think, a number of home groups all together. Sometimes you'll have people who just have too many, they got three kids now, and they realize they need a different structure, and maybe they'll come up by themselves, or they'll come up with two or three other couples that they know real well, or couples that they have discipled. So I wish I could say we had a plan, but we don't. As far as I know, I know the elders, it's a constant thought process. How are we going to transition college age people into the adult realm? Yeah. Yeah.
Are most of your adult classes also broken up within life stages?
No, it'd be like Christian growth. I teach a Christian growth 10 weeks. We'll have college kids all the way to retired people. Yeah. Now, there will be classes like how to be a better husband class and how to be a better wife class and parenting classes like that. And there's a monthly care meeting for young adults. But no, Christian ministry 1, 2, and 3, everybody. There's some home groups that are kind of homogenous, but our home group, we got Nikki, who's 27, and Sandy, who's 72, and everything in the middle, which makes it harder because everybody, who cares, you know, so many diverse, but it makes it better because no matter whom you invite into home group, there is somebody there in that age group. We got Nikki, 27, and 30s, and 40s, and 50s, and 60s almost, and 70s. It's crazy. You just invite whomever. Yeah. Now, is it easier? Yeah, Kathy Dilley is like right next door, so it makes it easier, but you invite whomever. Now, when maybe we plant, God willing, we might plant a little bit on geographical lines because it's just easier to share life if we're right next door than if I have to drive a half an hour. And what you find, people say, oh, no, I'm happy to drive a half hour. You're like, no, you won't be. And eventually, that half hour becomes a huge barrier. People that are super committed, though, they'll come no matter what. But if you're borderline committed, if you got to drive 40 minutes, we got a gal driving an hour from Dayton right now coming to home group because she's so hungry for community. She drives an hour. The other night, she stayed till 11:45 because she didn't have to go to work the next day. Go figure. Yeah. So you invite whomever, your coworker, and then you have to work that out. But yeah. It's relational more than like geographical or anything. Yeah.
So if somebody comes to Zenos, how do they plug them in?
If you come to Central Teaching unattached, there's a welcome booth at the Central Teaching meeting where you can go up. What we're really encouraging people to do is just, you know, if there's somebody there you don't know, you just walk up and say, hi, I'm Patrice. Yeah. You new here? And that's how us one older lady, Sandy, who's so excited about the Lord, somebody in our home group said, I haven't seen you before. Hi, Sandy, I'm Kathy. Would you like to come to our home group? And Sandy has. She accepted Christ, and now she's this crazy 70-year-old lady for Jesus. It's unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. So that's the ideal. But unfortunately, we're not very strong there, so we have to keep pushing that. But often, and when the person teaches, the application, if it at all possible, will be you need to be in a home group. We did have a couple who just show up at our home group because they're at CT. They were believers, and they heard the teacher say, you'll never grow without a home group. They went to the front desk. They found out our home church is the closest to their house, and David and Monette started coming. So there's all many different doors to home group. So I'll pray quick. Lord, thanks for people showing up and being engaged. I do thank you for home groups, Lord. I thank you that it's your spirit that makes them work because we mess them up. We love so imperfectly. So I'm so grateful it's your spirit that manifests himself through us and draws people to you through your spirit, Lord. So thanks again. We pray for the rest of the conference. Amen.
This study was recorded at Zenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.